From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Everybody's making plans. The Tri-County region, which includes Brunswick, New Hanover, and Pender County, is projected to undergo a steep upward trend in population over the next 25 years. What would happen if area leaders just allowed the region to grow by default without establishing any sort of comprehensive roadmap? There are smarter ways to grow, contend planning experts, by plotting a course based on community values. But it's not just the Tri-County region that's planning for the next 25 years. New Hanover County is set to launch phase two of its own comprehensive plan, and on an even more specific scale, the city of Wilmington is putting the finishing touches on its own future plan. On today's edition of Coastline, we're going to unpack all three of these plans, starting with the micro and moving up to the macro, and that means we begin with the comprehensive plan for the city of Wilmington. Our tour guide for this plan is Christine Hughes. She's a senior long-range planner for the city of Wilmington and the project manager for the city's comprehensive plan. Christine Hughes, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for having me.
We encourage you to join the discussion. You can email questions for Christine Hughes to coastline@whqr.org. Later in the program, we'll be joined by New Hanover County Planner Jennifer Rigby and Citizen Advisory Committee member Dan Dawson. And in the third segment, the project director of the Tri-County planning effort called Focus will join us. If you'd like to call in with your question or comment, that number is 910-343-1138. Christine Hughes with the City of Wilmington. If a comprehensive plan for a municipality such as Wilmington is a statement about what the city is today and what it would like to be in the future, what does Wilmington's plan say about that? What does Wilmington want to be?
Wilmington wants to be a pedestrian-friendly community, a bicycle-friendly community. Our plan recognizes that Wilmington is a wonderful place to live and that we're going to have to work to preserve those factors that make us a wonderful place to live while still being open to population growth. So our plan tells us a lot about, or talks a lot about, how to balance growth with continuing our high quality of life.
And where are you in terms of the process? When will this plan be complete?
We've spent over a year collecting public input, and we are moving into our final phase of public input right now, where we're getting ready to produce some drafts that we would like for the public to review. We anticipate that we'll have a draft in front of our council in summer, early fall, and ask them to adopt it then.
So you'll be asking council to adopt this draft in summer, early fall that the public has already had a chance to offer input on?
Yes.
Okay. And how have you sought community input up to this point? How did you arrive at this draft?
We have gone to the community. We've asked the community to come to us. We've done a lot of online input. We have gone to places where people are already meeting. We have gone into the schools. We've met with sixth graders. We met with high school students. We've gone to UNCW and Cape Fear Community College. We've made a lot of attempts to reach people in the method that they prefer to communicate with us. So if it's online surveys make you feel more comfortable participating, you had that opportunity. We've had traditional public meetings. We created a meeting in a box series where folks could take the meeting to their own group and meet outside of the whole scope of the city so that they could have a more free discussion. We've done a lot of things.
What kind of groups have you done that with?
The meeting in a box was really popular with some civic groups. Some church groups actually use that tool. Some city employees actually took the box home and met with groups that they already align with, a tennis team, for example. So it was a really easy way for people who are already meeting and spending that time together and perhaps already talking about these issues to formalize their input that way.
And were you surprised by what emerged from the citizen input? Were there recurring themes? Were there camps? What came out of this?
I was surprised to see that bicycle and pedestrian improvements came out as such a high priority. As a cyclist myself, I certainly understand that inclination. We have a wonderful climate. We can do year-round outdoor activities in Wilmington, and we're very lucky that way. But it was far and away the number one thing that people were asking for was to improve the facilities that we have, to add more facilities. They like to walk, they like to bike, and they like to do it for recreation, but also as a means of transportation.
We have an email from Phil Preet,
who is on staff at the City of Wilmington, part of your department, yes. And he says, is the simultaneous timing of the three major planning initiatives, and he's talking about the city's plan, New Hanover County's plan, and then the Tri-County plan, a positive or negative regarding outcomes? It seems that with each entity embedded in their own effort, it makes it difficult to take lessons from or build upon the other efforts. Will these plans mesh together?
I certainly see it as a positive. The idea that we have so many people talking about long-range planning at the same time is definitely a positive. Focus has been able to really utilize a lot of tools that the city and the county necessarily haven't had available to them. And so we really have been able to take a lot of the research and work that they've done and roll it directly into our efforts. For example, they've done a regional analysis of impediments to fair housing, and we've been able to kind of take that and run with it. And they had the scope and the tools and the resources to get that done, whereas we may not have been able to do that on our own. So for those reasons, I think it's definitely been a benefit. I suppose it's possible that there's confusion in the community as to, wait, did I participate in the city's planning effort or the county's planning effort? Well, the bottom line is we're all part of the same community. So if you're participating in some way, that's the important thing. And I hope that the citizens will feel that it has been a unified effort and that we are working together and producing something, three individual documents, but in coordination with each other.
Besides being a bike-friendly or a pedestrian-friendly kind of community, what other recommendations or items on the wish list emerged from citizens?
They would like for us to improve the traffic congestion situation. We've heard a lot about improving the aesthetics of our community. Sometimes that's about landscaping, street trees, that sort of thing. Sometimes it's about building design. So we've heard a lot about increased density in certain locations. We've also heard a lot about where maybe we should protect the development pattern and not encourage too many changes to go on.
And what areas could take more density? Wilmington is largely built out, isn't it?
That's one of the challenges. Yes.
So then how do you increase density?
Certainly our downtown is well suited for increased density, and some of our major road corridors are going to be really well suited for increased density, and that will help things like traffic congestion and the aesthetics of our community. As we build up and closer to the road and higher density, we can encourage bus transit, we can encourage uses in proximity to each other so that people can feasibly walk or ride a bike without having to get in a car. So all of those things can really work together to improve our community overall.
We have an email from Karen Dunn of the North Carolina Coastal Federation, which is an environmental advocacy group. And I believe Karen Dunn participated in the new Hanover County Comprehensive Plan, the development of that. And she has a number of questions here related to the current 2006 CAMA Joint Coastal Area Management Plan update. That's a mouthful. And CAMA, of course, is an acronym for Coastal Area Management Act. Can you, Christine Hughes, with the City of Wilmington, tell us a little bit about how that particular, the CAMA plan, the current plan, is going to factor into the City of Wilmington's plan?
So the city and the county adopted a joint plan several years ago, and that plan remains valid even after the adoption of our comprehensive plan. There is a possibility that we can take our comprehensive plan forward to CAMA and ask them to review it and make sure that it checks all of the necessary boxes, and we can use that, our comprehensive plan, then as an update to our CAMA plan without having to go through an additional planning process.
And what are some key elements of the CAMA land use plan that an organization like the North Carolina Coastal Federation might be concerned about?
I think protection of natural resources is a major issue. I think taking a hard look at the carrying capacity of the land, as you said, Wilmington is mostly built out. We have a lot of impervious surface. It's hard surface areas in the city. And so I think our comprehensive plan takes a serious look at those things and how to best redevelop and focus growth inward and upward within the city.
You also say that there's a grant from the Environmental Protection Agency to redevelop some brownfield sites within the City of Wilmington?
Right. The city did receive some grant money from the EPA to identify potential brownfield sites and to help property owners decide how to proceed forward with either marketing that property or cleaning up the site.
And what are some of those sites? Can you give us an example of one, say, high-profile site?
I can think of one in particular on North 4th Street that used to be a printing company, and it's my understanding that the property owners have been able to identify the problems that were on that site and are now going to be able to market that site for resale and actually see it redeveloped rather than sit idle.
And so who might be a potential buyer of a property like that, and how would that be redeveloped?
It depends on where the site is and what potential, road access it has, how tall a building you can build there. This site I'm thinking of, there is an existing building, and it could be a great reuse on North 4th Street for, some retail space. There are a lot of breweries coming to town. It could be a potential brewery site. So there are a lot of potential reuses of that site.
Okay, and we have just a minute or so left before we go to break. When, once again, is the next opportunity for citizen input on the City of Wilmington's comprehensive plan?
Very shortly, we will have some documents on our website, connectwilmington.com, that citizens can review and comment on there. We are also planning a joint meeting with New Hanover County to launch our growth strategies maps. And we're doing it with the county so that citizens can really see how those plans are talking to each other. And that will be in early March. And citizens can come in. It'll be a drop-in meeting. They can see the maps. They can talk to us. They can give us their feedback. And if they can't make the meeting, they can view those maps online.
Okay. Thank you so much. Christine Hughes, Senior Long Range Planner with the City of Wilmington, Project Manager for the City's Comprehensive Plan. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. Coming up after the break, we'll explore New Hanover County's Comprehensive Plan with that Project Manager, Jennifer Rigby, and Dan Dawson, who served on the Citizen Advisory Committee. If you have a question, give us a call, 910-343-1138, or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're talking about the area's comprehensive plans and how this region is likely to shape up over the next 25 years based on the values expressed by residents and stakeholders from the Tri-County area. Joining us now in the studio to explore the new Hanover County Comprehensive Plan is long-range planner for the county and project manager for Plan NHC, which is New Hanover County's comprehensive plan, Jennifer Rigby. Welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Also joining us to share his perspective as a member of the Citizen Advisory Committee, which is the 12-member body that helped to shape the recommendations for this plan, is Dan Dawson. Dan, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
You're invited to join the discussion. If you have a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. Jennifer Rigby, we just talked about the City of Wilmington's comprehensive plan and some of the citizen recommendations that came out of that. How much is the county plan going to differ from the city's plan?
Well, the county's plan is for the unincorporated part of New Hanover County. The area as a whole shares very similar values and very similar goals. So I see a lot of overlap and a lot of opportunities for coordination and collaboration with the city. But it is important to note that this planning initiative is for the part that is in the unincorporated portion of the county.
So all those areas within the boundaries of the City of Wilmington, they will be governed or guided by the city's comprehensive plan.
Absolutely.
What are some of the issues that do overlap between the city and the county?
Well, this area is poised to receive a significant amount of growth over the next 25 to 30 years. And how we address that growth and how we respond to that growth is very important. Our development patterns within our community is one way in which we can respond to that growth. And one thing that we have heard a lot of in the county, and I know the city has as well, because we've had a lot of coordination, is the concept of mixture of uses and the concept of complete communities. We want to make sure that individuals have homes they can afford and homes that are close to their jobs and workplaces, homes that are close to schools, and integrated into our community.
So this will eventually become land use maps, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Or is that just an element of it?
Well, that is one part of it. With a comprehensive plan, I've shared with a number of folks that we at the county have divided it up into two buckets, if you will. We have one, which is our goals and our implementation strategies, our vision, and then the next bucket, if you will, is our future land use map. And that's where we put these goals and visions on paper in land use classifications and how we develop.
Dan Dawson, you were on the Citizen Advisory Committee. This is the 12-member body that helped to shape the recommendations. What are some of the recommendations that emerged from your group?
There were actually 20 of them. And the recommendations were really goals. We almost avoided the word recommendation because we felt like we were, I'm speaking as my opinion, I think it's consistent with the group. I don't intend to be speaking as if I know for a fact what everyone thinks, but generally I think we attempted to brainstorm and to identify items that each individual in the group felt would be important. And there was a diversity of opinions. And I admire the staff and their ability to keep us structured and still get us create the environment where we participated and we engaged. And it was a very respectful group. I think everyone treated each one with the same level of respect they expected to be treated with. But we didn't hold back. And so ultimately, instead of quote recommendations, I think what we identified were goals that should be considered.
What are some of those goals?
Well, that's where the diversity starts. There are 20 of them, and we did not prioritize those goals. Now,
so these are all equally important.
They are. And if you were to ask me, I would start with the first priority is supporting business success. There are some members of the committee just as passionate that would say it's promote environmentally responsible growth. They're both important.
And they're certainly not mutually exclusive. Or are they?
There's a balance that must be reached. And I think what we did as a group is we were probably the most balanced group. Again, my opinion, I may not have total consensus from the group, but I thought we were a fairly balanced group, and it allowed us to really dig into the subjects and explore things. But ultimately, we prepared a document of goals and strategies that we all were willing to endorse, with a few caveats, such as maybe we didn't reach total consensus on everything. We reached consensus, but maybe not total agreement on everything. But we felt like everyone's opinion should stay in there and should remain and should be heard.
So these 20 goals then are a product of this 12-member body, but not everybody everyone said, yes, we'll endorse the entire document, but not everyone would.
Everybody endorses the document. There's
right.
No question about that. And they originated from six theme groups that met prior to the Citizens Action Committee having its first meeting.
And those theme groups were made up, Jennifer Rigby, with New Hanover County, of citizens. They were not Citizen Advisory Committee members. This was an invitation
correct.
To the public.
It was. It was an invitation to the public, and we asked certain stakeholders in the community that we knew would have a vested interest to participate. For example, Wave Transit, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, and DOT, schools, libraries. We had great representation through our community, and these theme committees really brainstormed ideas on how to address issues within our community.
Can you give us an example of one of those issues that
you've
got a variety of potential solutions on?
I'll be glad to. We had six different theme committees, and I'll just list them briefly if that's okay.
Sure.
The livable built environment was one of them. Responsible regionalism was another. Interwoven equity was one, resilient economy, healthy community, and harmony with nature. Those were all of the committees. And for example, with healthy community, we had representation from our hospital here and some local providers as well that helped give us ideas and suggestions on how we can achieve a healthy community, whether it's making sure that we have no smoking environments or whether we have walking trails and access to parks and recreational facilities. Those were some of the ideas that were generated, and then the Citizen Advisory Group met and refined those ideas. So our theme committees were full of citizens, all citizens, and it was a giant brainstorming session. And then our Citizen Advisory Committee really came together and rolled up their sleeves and did a tremendous job refining these into the 20 goals, and they are on our website if you'd like to share that.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Jennifer Rigby, Project Manager for New Hanover County's Comprehensive Plan, and Dan Dawson, a member of the Citizen Advisory Committee for that plan. If you have a question for either of our guests, give us a call, 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. We have an email asking, are there any plans for higher speed internet service? Might Wilmington consider a Wi-Fi hotspot in the downtown area?
That's a great question, and that is something that we discuss. Now, in the downtown area, that would be governed under the city's comprehensive plan. So, but there were conversations about perhaps having broadband service throughout the county.
We also had an email earlier from Karen Dunn, who participated in your process, the New Hanover County process. She's with the North Carolina Coastal Federation, and she asks, are there any proposals to combine the city and county plans and policies?
I don't know that there are any proposals to officially combine them together. There's a lot of value in having two independent plans.
Why is that?
Well, if you think of planning, at the beginning of this, there was a lot of confusion about why are there three plans in the region? And quite honestly, if you think of it in a vertical approach, you have a regional planning initiative, then a county planning initiative, and then a city planning initiative. And think of it as a river. A river runs through many jurisdictions. And so what may be appropriate for one jurisdiction may not be appropriate for the other. But there's a lot of common themes among that. So there will be a lot of coordination as far as implementation is concerned, but I don't know that officially combining all of the plans together will be necessary.
Dan Dawson, you mentioned the supporting of a healthy business environment and business growth as a goal that you see as particularly important. Did you feel like that goal was emphasized to the degree that you would have liked during this process?
I think all the goals received adequate airtime, adequate discussion. We were limited by how many meetings we could have. You could do this for years if you wanted to and perfect what you're working on. I really think they all the goals, and just because we mentioned one or two does not mean that those are the highest priorities. Right now, you have to remember these are a group of goals. Think of them as the conscience or the public participation and items the public has brought forward to be considered as the real rules and ordinances and land use plans and so forth are developed. We're the beginning. The future ordinances and rules are the ones that are going to really govern.
Mm-hmm. And so these recommendations, or goals rather, are just, here are some ideas from the citizens that should shape upcoming updates to the ordinance. Is that how you're characterizing this?
That's the way to answer your question, yes. I think that's what it's intended to do, and I think that it was a great start for doing that. It was a tremendous group of people that I don't think, except for maybe one or two, I think we had no absences for any of the meetings. There may have been an exception once or twice. Everyone engaged. Everyone worked hard.
And you said that this was a group of people on the Citizen Advisory Committee that represented really diverse interests, a diverse group of stakeholders.
You have to recall the process started out with six people being appointed by the county commission as six of the 12 members. The six theme groups met three or four times. I think they had maybe a total of four meetings mm-hmm. apiece. At the conclusion of their fourth meeting, they elected a representative from their theme group. And from those theme groups, then we ended up with six more members, or a total of 12. So that way, it was not just appointed. There were not just appointed people, nor were they just, let's say, active citizens. There was a mixture there. And we had realtors.
The people who tend to be vocal is what you mean by that.
Well, but I think from the appointment side, it was more of people that were asked to consider being involved. And then those that didn't get appointed were presented the opportunity to come to the theme group and engage and rise up and do that. So, you know, you really have to tip your hat to those people in the theme groups, especially, because they were elected by those peers that went to those four meetings, and they were elected to be Citizen Action Committee members.
One of the outcomes of this plan, Jennifer Rigby, is that this 1969 zoning ordinance is going to change. Is that correct?
Well, that is one of the ways in which we can implement the comprehensive plan. So we anticipate updating the zoning ordinance in the coming year.
And what kinds of changes do you anticipate to the zoning ordinance?
It's hard to say at this point. It's a little bit premature because we want to finish this process. And most importantly, we want to have a future land use map that shows us how we want to develop over the next 25 years. Staff has prepared that draft land use map, and we are taking it on the road, so to speak, to a number of different meetings throughout the community. We have one tomorrow night, and that's at the Bellamy Elementary School from 6 to 7:30 p.m. There are additional meetings that are all throughout the month of February, and those are posted on our website as well.
So any member of the public can come and take a look at these draft maps.
Absolutely.
And tell you what they think.
Absolutely. And we will be refining the draft map once we receive all of the input. At that point, then we will have a better idea of exactly what type of zoning ordinance we may need. I'm not quite sure what we need at this point, but we know we need to make some changes and some updates to our zoning ordinance.
You talked about the land use map being one bucket, and then other ideas, goals, recommendations mm-hmm. being another bucket, and the two informing each other.
Absolutely.
Just yesterday, the Obama administration announced that this region is part of a draft plan for offshore drilling, and we've already heard from people on both sides of that particular debate. Governor McCrory is applauding the effort, and there is in the works a revenue sharing plan with states. Will something like that impact New Hanover County? How does a policy decision like that impact the direction of the county in this kind of comprehensive plan?
Well, this plan is made to be flexible to political decisions. And so the thought here is that we have a plan that is flexible and that will be resilient to changes within our political climate one way or the other, and will help us move forward in an organized fashion.
So then you're walking a balance between being resilient and flexible and being very clear about what citizens said they want. Dan Dawson, how do you walk that line?
Well, I think at our level, as this committee, we produce those ideas and those thoughts and goals so that things don't get left behind and all of a sudden they creep in at the last minute as an item that was overlooked. Hopefully, I can't guarantee we haven't overlooked something, but hopefully all the elements that need to be considered are on the table and somehow, somewhere are represented in the goals. I do think that there will always be that, I hate to use the word competition, but there will always be those opinions of strong business side, strong environmental side. And granted, there have been exceptions during the last 10 or 15 years, but generally this community finds that balance. And what this will do, hopefully, is maybe provide the structure through ordinances, rules, et cetera, that the staff has attempted to have, because they it's so old and they keep amending and amending and amending, whereas hopefully this will give them a fresh start, more contemporary type of approach to things.
Jennifer Rigby, just a few seconds left. The launch of Phase 2 happens when?
It has already happened. It happened last week with the launch of our future land use map, and it is ongoing now. So I really urge citizens and interested individuals to come to these meetings and get involved and let us know what you think about the future of your community.
And you said tomorrow there's a meeting at Bellamy Elementary.
That's correct.
And we will post some of those other public meetings on our website.
Yes.
Under Coastline. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. I'd like to thank Jennifer Rigby and Dan Dawson for joining us today. They're both working in different capacities on New Hanover County's comprehensive plan. Coming up after the break, Al Sharp, Project Director of Focus. If you have a question, send an email to coastline@whqr.org or give us a call at 910-343-1138. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. And with us in the studio once again, Jennifer Rigby, who is the project manager for New Hanover County's Comprehensive Plan. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Thank you.
And also joining us now is Al Sharp, the man who's shaping the vision, or helping to shape, for the future of the Tri-County region, which includes Brunswick, New Hanover, and Pender counties. He's the project director of Focus. Al Sharp, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you very much.
If you have a question or a comment about how the Cape Fear region should be crafting its multi-county comprehensive plan, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. So Al Sharp, here we are with the macro view. Focus includes which geographic areas specifically?
It includes the citizens from Brunswick, Pender, and New Hanover County, of course, including the city of Wilmington. It was a designated MSA by the Department of Housing and Urban Development, the area surrounding Greater Wilmington.
And when you say MSA, that's Metropolitan
Statistical Area.
How are the New Hanover County Comprehensive Plan efforts and the City of Wilmington Comprehensive Plan efforts working with this Tri-County effort?
From the very onset, we have had an ongoing collaboration of five organizations: the city, the county, the MPO, Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization, and also the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority. And so these five organizations have been meeting on a bi-monthly basis to share data, share public input, and to collaborate in every way possible.
Is there anything that's emerged from this process so far, Al Sharp, that surprised you?
I don't know if it surprised us or warmed our hearts, but there are an amazing amount of similarities and agreement amongst the people in the area. People want the same things, they value many of the same things, and they are really very positive about their future.
What are some of those things? I mean, we heard from the City of Wilmington and New Hanover County that pedestrian areas are important, bike paths are important. What kinds of things are you hearing for the Tri-County area?
Well, let's take it to their people are value their neighborhoods and value accessibility within their neighborhoods, whether it is a city street or a community like Bergall or a resort area like Southport. People want access to their community, and they value the idea that they have choice. I think the key word that we've learned in the three-county area is people like having choices, and when they have choices, they choose to use the best options.
And as part of this effort, and Jennifer Rigby, you have been participating directly in the focus effort as well. There was a study that was published, a medical analysis gap. It was sort of like a snapshot of health across the region. What were some of the more compelling findings from this report?
There was a health gaps analysis that was completed, and it was very interesting to find out just what some of the issues are for our community as far as making sure that we are a healthy community, making sure we have access to health facilities, making sure that we have the right programs in place, and that, as Al mentioned, kind of making the right choices as far as healthy choices.
Let me add to that a minute. It's called the Health and Wellness Gap Analysis, and it's on the Focus website. And it identified such things as food deserts where people can't find healthy food within a reasonable distance to their homes. It identified the question of why can't kids walk to school anymore, and that there are dangerous roads, and then it also identified the idea that there are state programs where you can build walkable ways from neighborhoods to local schools. And the health professionals from the three counties cooperated on this, and what we found is that it was so good, it's being modeled in other counties within the state of North Carolina.
What was so good? You mean the report itself, the analysis?
The analysis, the report, the holistic nature of it, and the idea that you can focus on something as complicated as health and wellness in a comprehensive way.
One of the points that you made was food deserts. There are communities within the Tri-County region that are food deserts, and you describe that as not having access to healthy food. How can comprehensive plans affect that outcome? What do you do about that?
I think through our zoning, making sure that areas and with our future land use map, we show this, making sure that as areas develop, there are opportunities for commercial development integrated within single family residential development. That's a really important way to make sure that we can have access to healthy foods for individuals within a reasonable area.
And the report also points out the correlation between health mortality rates and factors such as level of education, income, mobility, which I guess is access to transportation, Al Sharp?
Yes, it does that. And it also looks at the whole question of health is not an isolated issue. It's very much related to where we live, where we work, and our opportunities in the community. And whether it's an urban experience like downtown Wilmington on our market down on the riverfront, or whether it is in a rural community where people want an opportunity of raising and marketing some of their own product, you need to build linkages on this. So this was an eye-opening experience for a lot of policymakers.
What are some of the areas in this three-county region, Brunswick, New Hanover, and Pender counties, that need some help when it comes to zoning and land use maps in terms of making them healthier communities?
Let me answer this, that focus is a policy driven. We do not have any authority on zoning. We are simply saying that through good analysis and recommendations, the elected officials and the private nonprofits can move forward in a concerted way. Now, saying that, you can identify our whole rural spread in northern Pender County, Brunswick County, and a few isolated places in New Hanover County.
Such as downtown Wilmington.
What?
Such as downtown Wilmington.
Yes, but there are both rural, there's a spread of rural areas, and there is also urban areas. The places that are most accessible to markets are suburban areas, but then they have the problem of busy streets, no public transportation, beyond the walking range of the people who live there. And so this is what New Hanover County and Wilmington will struggle with. It's not an easy issue because you've got market forces.
And that is interesting. In this report, it makes a direct link, I think, between areas where people can walk, get around without individual vehicles, and health. There's a link there. Can you talk about that link? And
go ahead.
I think there is a natural link there. One thing, it's important to know that it's not just about providing the opportunities for folks to walk there, but it's also the economic benefit of making sure that individuals are healthy and making sure that appropriate facilities are located where folks can easily access. So there's an economic benefit as well as a health benefit to it.
So also let's remember that Wave Transit and the other transportation providers in the other two counties have been participating, and it identifies where there are clusters of elderly or senior citizens or low-income people who may or may not have access to public transit. And these become decision points. Remember that a lot of people get to the grocery store by taking a taxi cab. And so these are the conditions that make for health and wellness an ongoing issue within our communities.
And Al Sharp, how do you see public transportation growing in the region? There's been a lot of debate about that between certainly the city of Wilmington and New Hanover County. And the city of Wilmington seems to be generally interested in growing the public transportation aspect of its landscape. The county up to this point hasn't shown equal enthusiasm. Is that a fair assessment? What's happening in Brunswick and Pender counties now on that front?
Well, Wave reaches out to Leland on its regular routes, and this has been particularly important now with the construction on the causeway. So it gives people a choice, and they have opened 3 park and ride lots on the other side of the river. Also, the plans as they emerge may tend to concentrate more growth along transit corridors, which will, by the nature of the development, make transit more easily accessible. I want to reinforce the idea that doing all of the study, that we can expect in this community 250,000 more people by the year 2040. So
let that sink in for a second. Okay. 250,000 people.
More people. Some of us because we're going to have kids, and some of us because our family's going to move here, and some of it because millennials are going to come to school and want to stay here. But for whatever reason, by 2040, at the low end, we expect 250,000 more people to be living in the Tri-County area. So when we talk about framework for the future, which is our set of recommendations, we're talking about not only what happens now, but what happens over the next 25 years, how to get ready for this, and how to do it intelligently and still maintain choice.
And going back to public transportation, Jennifer Rigby, will the county's New Hanover County's comprehensive plan, you think, will that move the ball forward when it comes to public transportation? Is that part of this effort?
Well, one of the issues with public transportation is that you have to have the appropriate density to support it and to make it viable. The city, it does have appropriate density, but there are areas within the county that are just not appropriate. It's kind of irresponsible to think of sending a bus, an empty bus, out to pick up one person and back. So I think as we grow and as the community, as Al mentioned, as our population grows, I think that conversation will continue, and it will be interesting to see how we can achieve some of those public transportation goals. But I think it is directly tied to how dense we become.
Rachel, can I add also that WAVE has been participating in this process with the city, with the county, and with the regional focus. And they are doing things to look at this. In other words, talking about sizing of their vehicles, natural gas as an alternative fuel. So the whole nature of us as a three-county region with the city of Wilmington, New Hanover County, Pender, and citizens from Brunswick County are talking about, let's work together for a rational future. And that's the important part.
We have an email from somebody that would be familiar to both of you, Paul D'Angelo, who is with the Wilmington Housing Authority. And he says, my question is for Al with Focus. What one issue or one fact or statistic do you think, if known, would help the Tri-County region think more regionally, an issue that affects us now or in the future?
The fact, I think, is on May 22nd, we convened a group of citizens and decision makers from around the region. And the number one priority was we want better jobs. And the second priority was we want to act and work together as a region. So there is a consciousness amongst the people that regional is the way to go when you're talking about these three counties.
Okay, we have just a few minutes left in the show. I want to get to our caller, Raymond. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey, Rachel, you always have really great programs.
Thank you. I'm
wondering where industries such as the cement factory across the river, where would something like that figure in all these comprehensive plans?
That's a great question. Al Sharp, Jennifer Rigby?
A decision on special use permits is a county decision, okay? But planning for the future, the city, the county, and other communities are working to open up the 421 corridor. The 421 corridor is the expansion area where water, sewer, rail, and river transportation come together, and an opportunity for clean industry to be located in a accessible part that will serve the three-county region. Right. So 421 North.
Jennifer Rigby, can you weigh in on this? How
sure.
will the SUP be affected by this comprehensive plan?
Well, the special use permit is a completely separate issue from the comprehensive plan. And so, but to Raymond's question about where these types of industries will occur, I'm going to point you back to these meetings that are so important to our community on the future land use map. That is where we can all have a conversation about where does industry occur and where is it appropriate and where do jobs occur and so forth. So, Raymond, I hope to see you tomorrow at our meeting. If not, we have a host of other meetings and hope to see you there.
And Al Sharp, I want to ask this of you. Jeff writes, I think the work so far is great. How do the groups get more people to participate? Jennifer Rigby, that's what you're talking about. We'll post those dates. But Al Sharp, how can people become more informed? He says, I serve on a number of boards, and one of the most common things I hear is, I didn't know about this.
We have a regional advisory committee that is wrapping up. They've had five meetings. The next meeting is on March 5th and at 8 o'clock in the morning at the Marriott downtown. We have a website. We have an internet list of 2,000 people, and we encourage emails and communication.
And we'll put that on the post at the end of this show. That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Christine Hughes of the City of Wilmington, Jennifer Rigby and Dan Dawson of New Hanover County, Al Sharp, Project Director of Focus. Thanks to all of you for joining us today. Thanks also to you, our listeners, and those of you who called in and emailed. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us next week. We explore the future of higher education in Wilmington, how that landscape is changing next Wednesday at noon here on HQR News 91.3 FM. This is Coastline.